Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. I want to thank LA Talk Radio for putting us on all over the place, all over the time. And I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every Thursday live so you can hop into the hot seat. 323-203-0815. Tonight, I have the illustrious and wonderful Dr. Pat Allen and the marvelous, magical Robert Storr. Hey, you two, how's it going?
Good evening, Kelly. Going great. Good evening, Pat.
All right.
Hello. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, we're so lucky we have Dr. Robert Storr with us tonight, Dr. Pat.
I know that. He is the executive director of the U.S. Vets Organization. And they're having a meeting, and I want him to promote it because it helps veterans who've been to war with their employment problems, with their housing, with their mental and especially suicidal, which I want him to explain this meeting coming up in this world. How are we doing with our veterans, Robert?
Great. This is wonderful timing, everybody. November 11th, tomorrow, is our Veterans Day across the United States. So everybody who has served, thank you for your service. Those of you who have family members, thank you for your service, because we know you took care of the family and often the veteran that served. And so there will be events happening all across the country. If you want services, as Dr. Pat Allen was just describing, I am the executive director of U.S. Vets at Bob Hope Patriotic Hall right here in Los Angeles. But we are across the country from Washington, D.C. to Honolulu, Hawaii. So if you go to usvets.org, O-R-G, that's usvets.org, without any spaces, you will find our services listed. And please, 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 please give us a call and let us know how we can help you out.
Would you please tell the audience how you, a licensed marriage family therapist, what were you into when you got into suicide? How did you get that?
Well, thank you for the question, Dr. Allen. It's a pretty significant part of my life and one that has changed my journey. Approximately 11 years ago, while I was working for a hospital here in Long Beach, California, as a psychotherapist and manager of a home health program, I lost my best friend and partner of 15 years to suicide rather unexpectedly. And I say unexpectedly because even as a trained therapist now for 30 years, most therapists have not been correctly educated around this warning signs of suicide prevention. So when I went through that horrific experience and the trauma of a death that happens like that unexpectedly, after about 2 years of significant grieving, which involved a lot of depression and a lot of sadness and grief, I rechartered my course to work in the area of suicide prevention and decided I was going to learn everything I could learn about what the reasons were that people died by suicide and what we could do as a culture in regards to suicide to prevent it. And the strange thing is we had suicide training at the hospital one day, but because I was a manager, I thought somehow it wouldn't apply to me. And unfortunately, for 40 to 60% of us listening, over half of us have lost someone significant to suicide or know of somebody who's died. So it's an important message for me and for the people I work with with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention to get out.
So are you recovered?
Well, you know, the interesting thing, what they discovered with people who've lost someone in a traumatic way, instead of just ordinary grief, they go through extended or protracted grief. It's now actually designated as a significant disorder in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Psychotherapists, because what they determined was, instead of a 1 to 2 year cycle of just grieving the loss, it often led to a significant depression. So I would say it took me roughly 6 years to work most of it through. And I think for the most part, I'm through. I think anybody who's grieved or deals with grief knows it never significantly goes away, but it changes. And it significantly has lessened over the years. But for those of you who have lost someone to suicide, I also want to let you know, coming up Saturday, November 19th, around the world, but across the United States, is International Survivors of a Suicide Loss Day. Because it is such a significant, difficult process, Harry Reid, who lost his father to suicide, a former congressman from Nevada, designated this day, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, for a world in the United States observation of International Survivors of a Suicide Loss Day. So if you go to AFSP.org, you can find an organizational event, which should be free in every 50 state across the United States. And if you go to opencounseling.com/suicide, you will find groups and crisis lines around the world. So you can look up in your state on AFSP.org. And what the event is, it's a gathering for those people who've lost someone to suicide. It brings us together annually, and it's an event I've been putting on here in Los Angeles with Dee Dee Hirsch, who has the Suicide Prevention Center for over 7 years now. And it allows for us to educate people about grief, allows people to process some of the grief over the, either if it's an internet group or in person. Ours is virtual, so actually anybody in California can join. And it allows people a chance to get together and get involved. And that begins the healing process, or for some people, continues it.
So what did you have to learn that you didn't know before you became an executive director?
Well, the thing that I did when I did leave the hospital about 2 years later, I became the clinical director at Dee Dee Hirsch Suicide Prevention and worked with both attempt survivors and loss survivors. And then I went on to become the director of the largest crisis line in the United States, which takes over 100,000 calls a year. What I learned first and foremost is suicide is preventable. We didn't know that before the early 60s when veterans found out first about suicide because of the World War II losses. What I learned was anybody can be susceptible. Now, suicide isn't a significant event that occurs often, but it occurs often enough in a tragic way that we have to pay attention to it. So I learned that we need to talk about it. I learned that we need to look at those individuals who may be at risk. The veteran population makes up a disproportionate amount of suicides. They make up about between 10 and 13% of the suicides every year, even though they're only 6% of the population. LGBTQ, also Native Americans, Native Alaskan Hawaiians, also have significant suicide rates. And anybody from 48 to 64, especially males, males die about four times more often than females. So they make up three-fourths of the suicides in our country. And we lose close to 48,000 people a year. So that's 30,000. So if you know of somebody significantly that suffers from a mental health condition that's in one of those populations, or has ever discussed or talked about suicide or not being able to make it, or is having a mental health condition that's untreated and is in crisis, it's somebody you want to be able to talk about and make sure they're okay. And if you're unsure about it, you can either dial 988, which is the new three-digit crisis line, 988. If you hit one is for veterans specifically, and you can talk to somebody, even if you're not suicidal, you can talk to somebody about what you're seeing around you happening with your friend, your family member, your fellow veteran, and make sure that you get information and support. And if you yourself are listening and have suicidal thoughts, but don't have any capability or real desire or intent to die, don't worry. That could just be a sign of depression. But if you have gotten to the point that you can't deal with the thoughts and it's growing into the desire and the capability and the intent, then make sure you yourself dial 988 and get help. Or if you're a veteran, 988 with the number 1. I've learned that we have to take it serious. We have to treat it as if it's a physical illness, just like if someone had diabetes or heart disease and they had a history in their family and they had high cholesterol and blood pressure. We would want them to check every time they go to the doctor. So if you know somebody who's had a previous attempt, who's at risk or struggling, please make sure you check in with them, because they won't check in with you. Oftentimes, people, because of the stigma, won't talk about it. So we, as their friends and family members, have to go through the stigma and make sure that we talk about it and make it okay for people to talk about it around us.
What is the name of this meeting, please?
The meeting for survivors is called International Survivors of a Suicide Loss Day. There are also support groups that go on throughout the year. So if you check afsp.org, you can find a group called Solace, which meets virtually every week in Los Angeles, which means if anywhere in California, you can dial in. I just want to urge people to really reach out. Coming up this Saturday, November 19th. Look anywhere on the afsb.org, and when you click on it, you'll find an area that says help if you are feeling suicidal, help if you've lost someone to suicide. There's also a program called Healing Conversations, where someone will talk to you after a loss to kind of help guide you through the process and connect you to resources. And again, if you're a veteran, happy Veterans Day tomorrow. And if you want just support or are looking for events, check out usvets.org or Google Veterans Day, and you will find out celebrations all across our country celebrating and honoring our veterans.
Are you a licensed therapist now?
Yes, Dr. Allen. I had the great privilege of training with you some 30 years ago and have been practicing that, in addition to my executive director and volunteer work with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So I take a very small number of clients.
Would you please give your number? How can people reach you?
Sure. The best way to reach me is area code 562-810-1040, 562, that's 810-1040, or Google my name, Robert Storr, S-T-O-H-R, and you will find my website, SurvivorsAfterSuicideLA.com, and you can fill out a form or get a touch with me through email that way.
Do you have anything else to say before we go?
Just a great thank you. And to those of you who are listening, to Dr. Pat Allen and Kelly today, I just want you to pay attention. I always tell people there's no accident you're here. It's brilliant work that I practice with couples and individuals around communication, and is the secret to a successful relationship and a happy life. So thank you, Kelly and Dr. Allen, for your service and for having me on to talk about International Survivors of a Suicide Loss Day.
And thank you so much for your genius and its expression in our program.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much, Robert.
You're welcome, Kelly, and you're welcome, Dr. Allen. Have a wonderful show, and I'll look forward to connecting with you again next month.
Good.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
I love you, too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Robert Storr, everyone. An amazing gentleman doing amazing work with our veterans and suicide prevention. Hello, caller. You're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question. Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Okay. So here's my question. I'm in an interesting situation. So I was studying in an acting class, and several weeks into it, which is, it's over now, the session's over, but I realized that I have a lot of feelings for my acting teacher, and we, after our last class, we all went out, in a group, you know, people, all the students in the class and him. And then I'm also a performer where I live. I do a lot of stand-up comedy. So I invited them to my performance. And so the question is this. So I like the guy very much. I found out yesterday that he is going through a breakup from his last girlfriend. How in this situation do I give a significant green light to where he knows that I like him? Or even do I? Like, how do I deal? How do you deal in a situation where the person's obviously going through an emotional situation? I'm so lost with this. I don't know what to do.
Now, he's your husband, he's your son. Who are we talking about?
Oh, no. He was my acting teacher, and I like him. And
so what are you asking me?
If I want to make sure that he knows that I like him, like, what do I do in this situation? Because we've only hung out in groups, and maybe he's not even available emotionally, you know, that is, he's breaking his...
What do you do with him? Do you have coffee? Do you have sex? Do you go to church?
No. So we used to be in class together. He used to teach a class that I was in. And we, at this point, we might just meet occasionally if he comes back to one of my shows, or we just meet occasionally with the group of, you know, students that
now,
are he's actually
number
back
one,
to
do you know my work?
Yes.
Are you wanting to be respected or cherished by this human male?
Cherished.
Then you have to somehow flirt with him so that he feels safe enough to approach you as a woman.
Okay.
Have you his birth? What?
I did that when we were hanging out, all of us. I had very little one-on-one time with him.
Do you know, if you know my work, you know what ritual stroking is. What is ritual stroking?
That I can reach out to a person for birthdays or Christmas or
birthdays, graduations. Do you know any of the important days or the days in life for him that you could send him a card or
The problem with the closest one will be, I don't know, Thanksgiving.
A what?
Thanksgiving. I know his birthday is in the summer, so that's far away. Christmas, Thanksgiving. He also invited us to come to his play, but that's not until January.
You couldn't send him a thank you card?
No, I mean, we kind of celebrated the end of our course, so we all thanked him, and myself included, after the course was over. Sending another one might be a little strange.
Do you know his birthday?
No.
Okay, do you know anything that's coming up? Is he a veteran?
No.
Okay, then do you want to send him a funny card which invites him to have coffee, tea, whatever?
Wouldn't that be pursuing him? Isn't that masculine?
It depends on how funny the card is, because that could cover the romance. When was the last time?
Yeah.
What was the last time that you had a personal conversation with him?
Yesterday.
So, did you tell him at that time how much you enjoy those intermittent conversations?
I did, yes. I told him, well,
I told him a lot about our course because the course was phenomenal, and he's a phenomenal, he's phenomenal as a teacher. So I had a lot of compliments about that. That and he was really appreciative.
Now, did he respond positively to your stroke?
Yes.
So how did it end?
Well, it ended. So yesterday I invited him and everyone from my acting class to my show, right? So I did comedy, stand-up comedy in one of the bars.
So good. So you invited him to a artistic show for you.
Yes.
You did it, dear. You did it.
I did it. And then when he came, right, because we were just by ourselves before it started, before everybody else came, I came early. And when he sat down, we started talking, and he said something along the lines like, I'm sorry, I've been going through some tough time in the last few weeks. I'm going through a breakup, and it's hard. That was one of the first things that he said when he sat down. So I've never liked anyone who was going through anything. I mean, in this situation, number one, I don't even know if he likes me. Maybe he likes me as a person, yes, but I don't know if he has any feelings for me at all. And then,
darling, you're wanting to give him a flirtation signal that you are receptive, available, and respecting of his right to say yes or no. Do you want to flag him or don't you?
Yes, I do.
You did the flag from what I hear.
Yeah.
So does he know how to reach back to you?
Yes.
Then you're done unless you're a man. Do you want to act as a man?
I do not. No, I'm a recovering male. Thanks to you. I'm now female. And no, I act like a woman.
If you were a person, I have no problem with women wanting to be masculine. I have no problem for men wanting to be feminine. The greatest chefs in the world are not women. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to lash out and admit, you know, I want to tell you this, sir. I have been attracted to you for so many years, but I wanted you to know I was attracted to you in case you are also attracted to me. Please give me your answer.
No. No.
But I want you to understand, I'm generally speaking, saying that I have no problem with you having an attack of masculinity.
I get those, but I suppress them. No, but I have a problem with that. I want to live like a female. I like it.
So did I give you the answer you expected?
Yes, you did.
Okay. But I'm giving you the permission to go against it.
Mm-hmm.
Going against always a female.
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much
for calling with a creative question.
Yeah. Thank you so much for answering. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right. Bye. Okay, 323-203-0815 is the number to call to get in the seat. Hello, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
You have a question. Thank you, Lee. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
There was a man who was dating me, and I told him what you said about I didn't want to have casual sex because I wanted to be married in a relationship heading towards.
And this man said, I don't want to have sex. I just want to be a friend.
No, I said to him, he was dating me, and I said to him that I didn't want to have casual sex.
Your phone is jerking.
Is that anything?
Okay, let's give it a go again.
I told him that I didn't want to have casual sex, that I wanted to be in a relationship.
Did he ask for it?
Basically, he did.
No, what was basically? He grabbed your boob?
Yeah, something like that. We were having a bit of...
you had a signal and you told him very cautiously, I don't want casual sex. What did he say in return?
Well, he was just saying that it's unrealistic and I haven't heard from him in about a week.
Okay, so tell him, well, that's where I live. I want to be committed to have intercourse with a man.
Well, the thing is, it's okay because he's not. I don't think we have the same values. So that's why I have a question for you.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand that men have been given permission to make casual sex okay. Men, right?
Yeah.
Most men want friendships with pleasures, with perks. So they make it sound like the Pope is having sex on Sunday after Mass. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly.
They're doing a great commercial, which I do not buy because I'm a scientist. I'm a transactional analyst, and I love all of my teaching to be grounded in basic science. So with that in mind, he's simply trying to sell you a deal that's being bought by women that want the power of respect and men that want the freedom to receive free marriage, free relationships, free sex. So you have you read my book, Getting to I Do?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Are you reading the book, Man's World and a Woman's Universe?
I have that book as well.
Okay, and you notice that the first chapter is about I-ness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be respected or cherished by a man who's interested in sex with you?
I want to be cherished.
You have to be cherished. Then your virtue, listen to what I'm saying, your virtue will be attacked seriously by his laissez-faire attitude. But the truth of the matter is, and listen to this carefully, men need to be securely grounded in committable relationships in their 50s and 60s because their testosterone goes down and they need cherishing, and they die prematurely. Anytime you go in a room, for every single man, there are 15 women wanting him to be committable. I'm terribly afraid that men are not doing themselves a favor by being casual sexually. So I'm telling you, I don't care what he says to you, it's more life and death for him to be with a virtuous woman than for you, because nature has built you to be polygamous. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know what that's for?
Well,
your husband dies and you're ready to go on to the next one.
Well, that's why I was asking you, because I have a date Saturday.
But he wants casual sex. Casual sex is simply an animal event. Making love. Have you ever made love with a man?
I'm not sure.
Then you didn't, because the touch of a man in love is so, so loving. You feel it in his hands. And when he makes love to you, having sex is simply an animal event. Making love, paraplegics can make love because they don't need anything except to be close to the person. And a nurse can help you get close to a person in a hospital or in a bedroom. So please do not buy the message that sex and making love are the same thing. They're not. Don't give free sex, because it will bond you and not bond him. So that within a few of these, he will be bonded. And do you know it can take up to 2 years to debond?
See, we didn't have sex, but we fooled around. And I feel like even that was a bit of a bond.
I got news for you. It's not the same as his penis going into your mouth, anus, or vagina. Honest to God. Because when your Bartholomew glands are stimulated, especially by a penis, more than a finger or a party tool, it'll turn you on a little, but nothing will turn you on like a man touching you with love. And you wouldn't say, well, I don't really know if I made love. If you've ever made love, you have it every time you think about it, because it doesn't. And there's a wonderful book called Touching by Ashley Montague. When a man gets into your body with his penis, it turns on your Bartholomew glands, which triggers your pituitary into releasing a highly addictive drug called oxytocin, and that glues to his body. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What?
No, I've heard you. I won't be doing any of that. I'm committed to not doing that.
So that's why. So what is when he ridicules you, he's simply trying to sell you a friend with perks. And tell him, you can buy sex, sir. I cannot be bought.
So this
have you
is
got
what
that?
I wanted to ask you.
What?
Dr. Ellen, but this is what I wanted to ask you. How do I stop wasting my time dating people who are not compatible?
Well, what are you asking me to say to you? Ask me the question you want me to demonstrate.
So in dating, when I'm dating, how do I stop wasting my time dating people who are not compatible?
Because you keep on dating people until you get the one that wants to make love to you. And you'll know, you'll, what?
I just feel like I'm dating and dating and it's just, they're not compatible. So,
darling, are you letting any man into your body?
No.
Then all you're doing is duty dating, so who cares? duty date. Don't give him more than three dates. Three dates to signal whether he wants to make love or whether he wants to have sex, friendships, and perks, which is simply the same as we women having a premenstrual painful period. When they get loaded with their semen, they're not comfortable. They want to ejaculate, and your vagina is better than a towel.
So what you're saying is there's no way to there's no way to find out.
There's no way to find out unless you give him three dates and he does his best to get his penis into your mouth, anus, or vagina. And you thank him. Right. Thank you so much for being interested in making love to me, which he's not. He wants to get into your body to ejaculate. That's nature's way of making babies. See, people forget that science, for example, you want to hear a story?
Okay.
A little girl of eight is molested by her brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens to her is, because she hasn't had her period, she hasn't leveled off in maturity, she will produce so many neuroenergetic dopamine receptors that she will become a horny little girl. And she will want casual sex. And that can happen for life. And that's what molestation can do to a little girl.
Right.
Are you, is that okay? Horrible?
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to waste time giving men a chance to invite you to be in love. Would you be willing to do that?
I'm willing to. It feels like a waste of time. It just feels like...
It's not a waste of time. All the men are being taught to get casual sex. Have you seen it?
Well, yeah, I have. It's normal now.
You know what? Churches aren't even doing a good job. Politicians are definitely not doing a good job.
Right. Okay. So what you're saying is there's no way to filter people who are not serious.
You know what? The best advertisement for me came out in a dating magazine. It said, "Wanted, a Pat Allen girl." Have you got that?
Mm, I got that.
You better read my book, Man's World. To a man who's an animal, a woman is an animal, and all he wants is to use the animal as an object. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I just don't know where the other men are.
I've got news for you. Men that come to me learn the beauty of a virtuous woman within three dates. And she says to him, thank you for being interested in me sexually, but I want to be in a committed relationship, so we're not compatible. Got that?
Mm. I got that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I've told you my truth. I've got classes, and in those classes, so many women have gotten engaged. One woman getting married. I've had two virgins that have worked through my program. Do you understand?
Okay.
I teach that virtue is making love.
Well, even that, you know, not having sex before marriage or waiting, people would just be looking at me like I'm crazy.
Darling, that's because they haven't heard the statistics that men die too early because they don't get cherished in their old age. And that's just plain facts.
Right. Okay, thank you. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello? Is anybody wanting to ask me a question?
Go ahead.
Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Is there anybody on the phone?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
I had a question. My husband was in an act that kind of led
to
depression.
You didn't give it the sexuality. Cousin man, cousin woman?
My husband.
Oh, that's a man, plus you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that in mind, I didn't hear anything.
So can you hear me better?
What?
Can you hear me?
Okay, your husband did what?
So he was in an accident about
what?
6 months ago.
I'm not hearing you. You stopped talking.
Hello?
What are you asking me?
So asking to, I guess, understand how to deal with the situation. He's been very distant for about the past
four months. Wait a minute. He's your husband?
Yes.
You don't make love?
No.
How did you get married?
Well, we've been married for 18 years.
Okay, and you never make love or have sex?
Not never. Since his accident, which was about 7 months ago, he was badly injured, and then he had depression. He couldn't work, was kind of bedbound for a little bit, and now he's been very distant for the past 4 to 5 months.
What? I didn't hear that sentence.
He's been very distant, isolated, checked out.
Does he have a lover?
No.
Is he gay?
No, he's not.
Are you fat?
A little overweight, yeah.
And does he like it or is he mad at you because of it?
He's never mentioned my weight ever.
Oh, he's never mentioned anything about it?
Not ever.
Is he the respected one in your marriage or the cherished one? Are you wanting respect or cherishing from him?
I want cherishing from him.
Okay, then you have to respect him.
The thing is that he does tell me that he feels very respected and appreciated and loved and cared for. But his electronics have the best of him.
I've got news for you. He may not be chemically suited for multiple sexual experiences. Has he been to a urologist?
He has been, yes, in the past.
I know. Did he get any medicine to have his sexuality stimulated? There are people that only have sex once a year because they don't have the chemistry. So,
well, after he got into his accident, he did tell me he actually brought up a lot of things from, we've been married for 18 years, the things that he couldn't forgive me from like 15, 12 years ago.
Wait a minute. What did you do years ago?
Disrespect him. Like, we got married young. I just didn't know any better.
So are you in love with each other or simply a couple of humans having sex sometime?
At this point, simply a couple of humans.
So did you marry him to get laid or paid?
No, neither.
Okay. Have you got any kids from him?
Yeah, we have three kids who are not teenagers.
Okay. So what if I told you that he is never going... How old is he now?
He will be 44 here in the next week.
Okay. He's just very slightly at the beginning of andropause, which is his version of menopause for us. Your husband is getting older and is getting more feminine. Have you made love to him lately?
No.
How old are you?
I'm 36.
You're on estrogen. You haven't gone through menopause.
Do I have what?
You have not done menopause.
Absolutely not.
All right. And you're horny.
A little bit.
No, a lot. You're calling somebody on the radio and saying, I want to get laid more.
Yes, I do definitely want affection. But after his accident, he specifically told me that because he couldn't forgive me, he was going to make sure that he does not have any type of emotional or any connection, but it was really geared towards emotions at all. And practically told me that if I dare bring up anything that had to do with emotions, he was going to pack and leave.
I understand that. He's told you he will divorce you because he knows you don't love him enough to respect him.
From the past, yes, but I have improved by far over the past at least a year, if not two, which he has stated that to me as well.
I fully understand that, but you're not authentic. You're still ordering him to make love to you. You're a man.
Absolutely not.
Is your mother
a man? I have not
asked
him. Is what?
Is your father a wuss?
I guess no.
If you were not relatives, would he be the kind of man you would want to be married to?
No. Now, knowing him now, no.
So do you understand you didn't marry well?
Well, I married him because I love him, and I still do love him. And we married for love.
Loving him. Then do you love him with no intercourse?
Of course I do.
Then why are you calling me?
Because I don't want to divorce. And this isn't like, I guess, a way to live. Like, I don't know. Like, what do I do from here on out?
I want you to realize that you're a very masculine woman and you want to make love to your husband Have you had any affairs during your marriage?
Never.
Okay. Are you willing to make love to your husband once a week?
I have made love to him based on his request or any form.
No, dear. No. He's your wife. Do you understand that as men get older, they go off testosterone, they go on the estrogen in their system, and they become more feminine? Men need to be cherished when they're older. You cannot get him to respect you because he's a man and he doesn't want to chase you. He wants you to make love to him.
Okay.
Does he like hand jobs?
Yes.
Then give him hand jobs every day.
He's just not responsive.
What? What did you say?
He's just not very responsive.
He wants it. Are you giving him what he wants in the way of a lover?
I mean, yes.
Then you're making love to him once a day. How often does he want you to make love to him?
Maybe once a week, and that's a faint maybe, like once every 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay, is that what he likes, once every 2 or 3 weeks?
He says to me that that's what he's content with, and that's what he's trained his body to do.
Good. Are you respecting that request?
Yes.
So what is the problem?
He made it very specific. The problem is that we don't have any kind of... My problem is that we don't have any type of connection. So even though he claims that I respect and appreciate him and so on and so forth, he is trying really hard to distance himself as much as possible.
Wait a minute. I'm telling you, dear, would you please make love to this man on his schedule, not yours?
Well, that is his schedule. Once a month is his schedule.
Well, then make love to him wonderfully. Get a lingerie. Take a shower. I mean, how old are your kids?
Between 17 and 12.
Okay, so the 17 is almost ready to pop out of the nest, and the 12-year-old is almost still watching. Are you willing to respect your husband's needs for sexuality?
That's what I've been doing. So if I want to have sex 3 times a week and he's okay with once a month, he makes that very clear.
Would you please make love to him once a month?
I have been.
What?
That's the problem.
Wait, I didn't hear that.
I said I have been.
But you're bitching about it.
Once a month.
You're not.
Because
you're not
cutting it for me.
Are you hearing your anger?
Oh, absolutely.
So why don't you just get a divorce and get another young chickie poo?
That's not my goal.
Your husband is now becoming your wife. Would you please make love to him like you think a man or a woman who's a man would do? Do you understand science is changing both of your bodies? He's getting more feminine and needing more cherishing. you are masculine up the wall. He's intuitively aware you don't like him. You didn't marry well, but you have a family. I don't hear that you have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer. So as far as I'm concerned, why not be his loving husband until you realize he needs to be cherished? You're screaming to get respected. Got it?
So he told me he feels cherished.
He feels what?
Why would you tell me he feels cherished? Like, I feel like just like confusing my head.
I didn't hear that sentence correctly.
I'm asking, why would he tell me that he feels cherished?
Like, what's that word?
He told me that he feels that. Cherish.
Kelly, can you tell me what that word is?
Cherished.
She's not cherished. She's wanting to be respected, and his body is not built for it. Would you please cherish your husband who's going into his feminine phase? Would you please make love to your husband because he's becoming your wife? Okay?
Okay.
Do it.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That is such a true statement. Make love to your husband because he's become...
Hello?
Hello, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Hello, Dr. Allen. This last conversation you had about men over 50, a gentleman who was getting into his feminine. I'm 59.
Yes.
And I'm very much a recovering male, but I want to be female. So I'm on dating sites. And I do suggest to the men when we, you know, after maybe a couple texts, I say things like, it would make me very happy if you want to talk on the phone at your convenience.
That's, you know what? That's beautiful. Does he respond positively or negatively?
They usually say yes, but then maybe they'll keep going on texting. And one gentleman said, oh, well, maybe we should talk. And I said, oh, that would make me so happy. So my question here is twofold. So when he says maybe we should talk, should I give him my phone number? I've been trying to be more feminine because I just feel so aggressive most of the time and just wait for him to ask me for my phone number. Or after
problem of you being, are you chemically attracted to him?
Well, I don't know yet because we haven't met. That's the whole point. I would like to go off the dating site and just meet, even if it's just for coffee, to have a conversation.
But I'm asking you, have you read Getting to I Do?
Yes.
Okay. Do you understand you may be with a man that's chemically more feminine than you are?
Well, I guess I'm beginning to realize that because they're this, you know, in their 50s and 60s, yes.
Well, then why can't you let him be your wife?
Okay, well, that's a good question. I don't mind to some degree, but frankly, I would love to get paid. I mean, we all want both, but, you know, I've
specifically taken on... Honey, do you want respect or cherishing?
Cherishing. I want cherishing.
But you're asking for respect.
How am I asking for respect?
because you're chasing men.
Well, I'm trying really hard not to chase men. That's why I'm calling you, because I'm on the website.
I know, you've got a feminine man. He has a right to be feminine.
Of course he does.
Well, then why don't you just be a man?
Well, because I wanted to be cherished. So
to be masculine talk. I want to be cherished. I got news for you. His penis does not pay attention to your language.
So what do I do on the website? Just keep texting with them back and forth until... I mean, what I also heard you say in these last calls is that they want to be chased. So I'm confused.
No, some of them want to be chased. No. Women today want to be cherished, but they act like they want to be respected. Women today are so masculine.
I would agree. I put myself in that category, and I'm really wanting and trying to be more feminine. And that's why I was calling to ask.
You know what being more feminine means? You flirt with him. You respond to him. You go to coffee with him. You do it his way, except letting his penis into your mouth, anus, and vagina. You don't do that because that he has to be committed to cherishing you with commitments, monogamy, continuity.
Okay, I want to ask a question. May I?
Yeah.
So we're on the dating website. We've just communicated via text. So we're just texting back and forth. At one point, he's asking me a lot of questions. So I said, it would make me so happy if we just spoke on the phone if you want and it's convenient for you. And I leave it at that. I just let him know that it would please me. It would make me happy. He goes, that's a good idea. Okay, yeah, I think so too. At that point, do I respond with my phone number? He hasn't specifically asked for my phone number, but I'm waiting for him to ask me because I don't want to be too masculine. So
I've got news for you. Does he like you masculine?
I don't know.
Do you ever pay for the popcorn in the movies?
No. We've never gone out. Still on the dating site. I never contact the dating site. I wait for them to contact me. And then I will respond.
Does he contact you for dates?
Well, right now, at first, they're just communicating through texting on the website. They're just communicating being the data by way of the data, the dating website.
Well, that's you pushing the button. Are you masculine or feminine on the dating site?
I feel good that I'm positioning myself as the female energy.
And is he responding?
Yes, I get a lot of likes because of my pictures and my profile.
Well, then what's the problem if you're doing what you're okay with and he's following you? What's the problem?
It's not a problem. It was a question. When a guy tells me, yes, that would be great, I tell him, it would make me happy if we spoke on the phone, because as you know, women get turned on by what they hear. But I say, if you want, and when it's convenient for you, it would make me happy if you want to talk on the phone. This is the whole issue about the phone number. He goes, okay, maybe we should talk. And then it was my turn. And that's all he said on this chat. And my question to you is, at that point, is it masculine for me to give my phone number to him without him directly asking, or should I wait for him
to ask me for my phone? I want you to do it. If you want to be cherished, you have to respect him.
Yes.
So you have to do it his way.
So he hasn't asked me for my phone number yet, but it would be pretty natural. Because okay, maybe we talk on the phone. I would volunteer my phone number, but I did not because I wanted to ask you about this. I was waiting, and he never got back to me.
It sounds like you have a man who wants you to chase him.
Yeah, that's what. So then, yeah.
Okay. So why don't you chase him? So he can respect you, which will feel like love.
Yeah. No.
Are your mom and dad still married?
No. No.
When did they get divorced?
When I was 10, many years ago. Many years ago.
Who left who?
My mom left my dad because he cheated on her.
And what did your mom do afterward?
She was bitter and complained for 30 years. She did get married once. They both got married, remarried once, and then divorced
again. And did they get married to men or women in men or women bodies? Is your mother a man?
My mom got married probably to another woman. She's definitely masculine. He was an alcoholic. And then my dad got a mail order bride from the Philippines.
So do you see that they upended their choices, which were your mom and dad, to be what they really were?
Uh-huh.
Do you see what I mean?
You know what, Pat? Based on what I've learned from you, I'm sexually turned on being the feminine energy. I love being pursued. I love being
Have
controlled.
You ever had a man treat you like a woman? Ever?
Very rarely, on occasion.
That's because you are naturally masculine.
Yes, I would agree.
So why don't you get a wife with a penis?
Because I'm not physically turned on by that. I do not
orgasm. I got news for you. Are you turned on by being alone?
I'm very content and happy by myself.
If you cherish your man.
I can cherish my man. I cherish and respect him. I'm an alpha. I give so much, but I also expect a lot. I know it's, you know, I want an alpha male. I would like an alpha
That's
male.
That's fine. So do you have one now? How old are you?
No. 59.
You're 59 years old.
I am, but I'm in very good shape. Nobody would think I was 59.
That's very nice. Therefore, do you go dancing and let feminine men dance with you?
No.
That's because you're blocking them from their sexuality.
Well, it's because I don't have a lot of time. That's a conflict because I'm trying to make a living because I have to.
What I'm saying is you're a good man and you're making money.
I am a good man. I know. Man.
Then why don't you get a good? Why don't you get a woman in a man's body? We're all men and we're all women.
Because, like I mentioned, I get turned on by men who pursue me, who take control, who are very male.
You like to compete with men. But men do not marry men, they marry women. And women do not marry women, they marry men, even if they're gay. You need one man and one woman but it doesn't have to be the body. It can be the lifestyle. You fall in love with the lifestyle.
I would agree with that. I also determined that the first and foremost important thing in a man is his spirituality. Most people aren't, and I am very spiritual. I meditate all the time and understand and believe in energy, but there aren't a lot like that. Luckily, there are younger men like that. So if anything, I should probably go for a younger man. But
Read my book?
Getting to I Do, or the other one, The World?
No, Getting to I Do.
Yeah, I've read the Getting to I Do, and I've had
Did you
one
take
of your
the test for feminine, masculine, or narcissistic? Did you take the test? And what
did
it come up? And what did it come up?
Probably more masculine. It was a long time ago in the very beginning, probably a good,
I want you to understand it's not bad to be masculine as long as you're willing to marry a feminine man who may be a musician, an artist, a chef. We're all masculine and we're all feminine. But I need one masculine kind of person and one. Your husband right now is trying to mold you into a woman by cherishing him.
Yeah. Well, I guess. I don't know. I got to think about that because I went for a good almost 20 years with a man that I thought was asexual. We hardly had sex. We did have 4 kids, but I don't want to live like that. I'm a very sexual person, and I want to have a lot of, not just sex. I want to make love like you talked about
earlier. I totally understand. You're a man. You're wired like a man.
Yes.
Then why don't you live like a man?
Well, then tell me, will I be turned on? Because what I found is when I'm more turned on.
I got news for you. You'd be turned on because you wouldn't be lonely. How lonely are you right now?
I'm not lonely. My life is so blessed. I couldn't be living a better life. I get everything I want, and not necessarily materialistically.
Then you have your children. Who's your lover?
I don't have one.
Well, then you're okay without one. So why are we even talking?
All right. Well, Pat, I really appreciate and respect your work. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, caller. Bye-bye. All right, Dr. Pat, it looks like you and I are out of time. So what are you going to say before we leave?
Well, I'm telling you, as I've been teaching for the last hour, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is if you learn how to make and keep agreements.
Awesome. Okay, everyone. Dr. Pat and I will be back next week. And right now we have Sue Wagner coming on and and also Patricia Eltinge. Okay, Sue, are you there?
Bye.
Bye, Pat.
Hello, Kelly. It's Patricia. I am here.
Hi, Patricia. Hi, Sue.
Hi, and Sue's here. Okay. Yeah. Bye, Kelly.
Bye.
Hi. I just want to tell everybody, tonight we have a special guest, that Patricia Eltinge. She does dream interpretation. She's an author, a dream analysis, and a relationship expert. Patricia has worked with Dr. Allen for almost 30 years, and Patricia's book, which is available on Amazon, is called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. You can also reach Patricia Eltich for dream consultations at 310-528-0515. Tonight, we're going to have Patricia do a couple of dream interpretations. We have a couple of callers here that we will be taking. Are you on the line, Patricia?
I am indeed, and I'm looking forward to callers with dreams.
Okay, let's see. Do we have any callers on?
So what I do in the meantime, until somebody comes on, I have a wonderful book called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. And it's not only an informative book that I suggest people use as a reference book and start learning how to remember their dreams, and why we want to remember our dreams for our own personal growth and transformation. And chapter 7 talks about how to capture your dreams. Oh, do we have a caller?
Oh, I think we have a caller here.
You've reached the voicemail for Tiffany Bode.
Oh, I guess we don't.
Next.
The one thing when we do the calls is it goes to spam. So if anybody's out there listening, if you can put the phone number 323-203-0815, if you're ever trying to call in, put that in your contacts so that when we call you back, it doesn't go to the spam. Let's see if we have another caller here.
And as I say, in the meantime, I would like people to start keeping a pad by their bed and not opening their eyes upon waking, because we are in this special state of consciousness called the Lyman state, where we can still capture the dreams. Is that a caller coming through?
Let's see. Yes. Caller, yes. Are you on?
I am, yeah, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Go ahead, we have Patricia.
I'm here for you. Do you have a dream for me?
So it was a little bit long. Do you want me to tell you the whole thing and analyze at the end, or do you want to analyze it piece by piece?
Well, let's just, you start going and I'll just go along and may ask you questions along the way for specifics. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So, it started off that I was, working. So like in an office, and then, it started raining. And there was no roof in the office, so I had to find a room or a closet with a roof so that I could hide a CPU unit, which is like the, you know, the huge hard drives that sit underneath the desks, in order
to
protect
it. And you were wanting
to,
okay, I understand. Mm-hmm.
And then the next part of the dream was I was outside on a street with cobblestones, and there was a woman.
Is this all part of the same dream?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So after this rain is coming down through the roof and you're hiding the unit, then your next scene, you're outside. Mm-hmm.
And it was, I remember it was very distinct. It was like a street with cobblestones. It felt like Europe, but I couldn't tell you like if it was or not. And then there was a woman with a trained pony that was being ridden by a tiny person that looked almost like a Barbie. Like if, you know, Barbie was like 18 inches tall. So it was kind of, it was like a doll, but it was like if Barbie came to life. And then I went back to a hotel and I was given a enormous, huge, like just beautiful scarf by the woman who was working at the front desk. And it was really,
What color?
No idea. Mm-hmm. I did, my notes say that it was thick and rich to the touch with an unusual design.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next part was I was with the, all of the girls that were on Sex and the City. This is so embarrassing. And then the guy that plays Big, who, I think his name was John on the show. He was on a stage and then he was giving a speech to me. And then he gave me a Tiffany box, like the blue Tiffany box.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in an unusual shape, almost like a flattened heart. And then inside was a big stone, a ring with a big stone that was pink. It was like not traditional. It was sort of an unusual piece of jewelry. Mm. And then there was another woman who was the coordinator of like this sort of event where we were, you know, in this space where he was giving the speech. And then so that guy that plays the character, John Preston, gave this woman who was the coordinator, it looked like a round hat box, but it had these round like porthole windows in it. And it, in the dream anyway, it was some kind of purse with a lot of chains and coins like attached to it. And then this woman remarked upon receiving it was that this takes some arranging to get this kind of item to me. And then that was it. That was the end of the dream.
Okay, I want to go back to the beginning. I may ask you a question. So when you're in this office situation that the roof is leaking, or it had no roof at all, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, no roof.
No roof, and it's raining. Well, water in our dreams, number one, is representational of our sensual, sexual side of life, any water element. Now it's raining, but so something is interfering with your business side of life. You don't like the fact that the two aren't mixing, because the business is represented by this piece of equipment, and you're putting it away. You're shoving it under the desk, right?
Yeah, I was trying to protect it from getting wet.
Okay. So what you're doing is separating. So is this something you're... I want to say to everyone here, our dreams represent... you correlate your dreams to your waking life, how you are perceiving and thinking and feeling in your waking life. So these are representational of our true thoughts and feelings. So there's somehow you're able to separate or protect your business side of life from your sensual, sexual side of life that you're wanting to, and then you go out into the elements and you're out on the road. So are you doing things in your waking life where you are able to separate your work life from your sensual, sexual side of life, or you relate what you're doing towards that part of your life? Are you doing that in waking life?
I mean, I don't really have a sexual side because I'm not seeing anything.
Well, you are making efforts. Are you making efforts? It sounds to me like you are. Sometimes our dreams are preparing us and desensitizing us for what we need to be doing. So this is what your dream is telling me, what you need to be doing is putting your equipment away long enough for you to be out and experiencing the world in relationship, to be available to relationships. Now, a horse coming along, a little horse coming along, is a masculine image. And there's a Barbie, and everything in your dream represents an aspect of yourself. So here's Barbie on the horse, and this is you prepare again. This is almost like it's three dreams. And dreams do come in sequences. They come in series. So you almost had three dreams. The first dream is preparing you. You're going to get ready. Are you preparing yourself to go out into the world and maybe just start dating? It sounds to me like you are. Well, this sounds to me like your mind is preparing you to do just that. And even if you have to do it in a stiff way, like a doll, and act as if till the feelings follow, as Dr. Pat Allen always used to say, act as if till the feelings follow. You get on the horse and make yourself available to the outside world. Now, what's in this scene after the Barbie and the horse?
I went back to a hotel and I was given a very enormous lady that works at the front desk.
Okay, so you're given this what at the front desk?
It's a scarf. She gave me a scarf.
Yes, okay, a scarf is something that you said was a very sensuous fabric. You said it was very luxurious, right?
Yeah, it was.
And so when we talk about clothing in dreams, that's our persona. And you are preparing yourself to feel luxury. So somehow your psyche is preparing you for a feeling of luxury. And then you're presented with a gift from, and he represents the feeling side of you. So your own feelings are preparing you for receiving and opening yourself up to receiving. And not only just receiving, you're receiving in this dream a heart. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the box was heart-shaped, and then the ring was pink and really big and very non-traditional.
Yes. Well, there's something that you're preparing yourself to be open to the possibilities that the universe has to offer you. So not non-specific, but you're opening up your consciousness to receiving a gift. And you said it was a heart. Didn't you say it was like a flattened heart?
The box was a flattened heart, and inside the box was a big
ring with a pink. Yes, this big pink ring. Now, that is symbolically, I talk about in my book, I also talk about colors. And symbolically, that heart is the heart box is the Tiffany box, which is a symbol of luxury. Again, you got the luxurious scarf, and now you have a luxury symbol of Tiffany. And this is talking about the crown chakra. So it's a combination of violet and red is pink, and it's a spiritual color. So what your psyche is wanting in life is you're opening up yourself to something from the heart in a spiritual way.
Okay.
And I think you are preparing yourself. Your mind is preparing you to go out into the world, be open to the gifts the universe has to offer you, and you're going to put aside the masculine side of you by putting away that machinery under the desk and allow the rain, which is a water element representing the dating world or the relationship world. And it was, were you getting wet in the dream? Was the rain coming on you?
You know, I didn't make a note of that when I took notes, but I mean,
you were exposed. Nevertheless, there was some exposure to rain.
Yeah,
what are you doing in your life to expose yourself to maybe meeting somebody? Are you doing anything towards that?
I am, but inside my own house.
That's okay. You're preparing yourself. Making sure what?
Nails, hair. I said I'm just trying to make sure that I'm put together when I do go out. You know, nails, hair, nice clothes, that kind of thing. Jewelry.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing. You're doing that. You're preparing yourself. And this dream is evident of that, that you are preparing yourself to be available. So you're almost ready. You're preparing yourself for it to be available.
Okay. All right.
Does that feel good?
That's good to know. What about the last little bit of the dream where the woman who coordinated the sort of, I'm going to call it like a speaking event because that guy that played big on Sex and the City was giving the speech.
Right.
And then she was the one who coordinated it. He gave her a gift. What does that signify anything?
And they all represent aspects of your soul self, and you are giving yourself the gift of these things. So that gift was just, and she represents the masculine side of you, by the way, because a woman in your dreams is representing your masculine thinking, doing, productive side. So you cycled in this dream from the beginning, back being in the workplace, and then back to you went down through your feeling centeredness and being receptive is feminine, and then you're going back to this female and honoring this female for saying that's so complicated. Oh, she's honoring the feelings of how complicated this must have been. Is that right?
She
to put this together.
I I'm not exactly sure about that. I mean, so in the dream, he gave her a gift, and it was like, yes. It had a lot of like novels and stuff on it. And her remark was, this takes some arranging, I think, because
this
it seems to be
arranging.
Like a...
Yes, but this takes some arranging is what you, this is what you are doing. This is what you are doing. You have told me already that you are putting yourself together and you're arranging yourself. And your subconscious mind is telling you, wow, this is all fine and dandy, all this hoopla and receiving luxury gifts, all this. But wow, this really, this takes some arranging. And that's a message. That's a piece of a message in a dream. There are sometimes in dreams we get messages, and that's the message where you're saying to yourself, this takes some arranging. But nevertheless, the intention in the dream is that you are starting to be receptive to luxury and feeling good.
Okay. All right. Well, I like that then, because it seemed very weird when I wrote it down. It makes more sense.
All dreams seem weird until we pick them apart and the way I describe in the book. But I think it's a beautiful dream. And by the way, all dreams wish us well. They're all bringing us messages to help us improve our lives.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay. I was going to say, if anybody out there wants to have their dream interpreted, if you could call me at the Dr. Pat Allen's office, the Wan Institute sponsors this show. If you give me a call at 949-723-0338, I will put you on the list and the radio station calls you to be a guest. We do it a little differently than the way Dr. Allen does, because we need to be specific with just dream interpretations. So we're hopefully calling to get another guest on the line.
And Sue, you also, until somebody comes on, Sue as taking classes. She's organizing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah.
Hi.
Somebody's on. Okay. We have a caller.
A caller? Yes. How are you?
Hi. Good, good, good. Yeah, Patricia, I've read your book. I'm a fan of yours. I have a short dream. And, it's really, like you say, an image, really. And what it is I come home, and it's not really where I live, but it's my dream home, okay? And all the furniture is gone out of my home. I'm going, and I say in my dream, I say, well, what the hell happened? And I also hear myself saying, how did they find me this time? Something like that. It was very eerie. It was just like a second like that. So, I'm not sure.
Well,
it's pretty strange. I know.
Well, we dream in the hierarchy of dream symbols is people, nature, and things. So when we're dreaming of people, we are dreaming of messages that are closer to coming to consciousness. And when we dream of nature, which is like landscape, animals, pets, things like that, it's the middle ground. But the furthest away from coming to consciousness is things. Now we're talking about furniture, so this is things. And you're saying that this is your home and all of a sudden your furniture is gone. Well, that's also part of your security and your where you reside. And our dreams represent aspects of ourselves. So where is it in yourself that you have felt violated in some way? This is a dream where you felt violated and... And it's an aspect of your identity. So somehow, how does this correlate with your waking life, where you have felt violated in your being, in your identity? Can you relate to
that? I would have to reflect on that. Really, I mean, and it's kind of personal too. I don't know if I can talk on the radio about it, but
yes, you do. Nobody knows who you are, So I would like you to tell me where you have had your identity violated.
Well, I think did you use the word trespass? Did you say that?
Yes,
or violated?
That could violated or trespass, violated. Of course.
Yeah. I think it
is
relates.
It in your in your business life or your personal life or your relationship life?
I think it may relate to being violated financially, okay? That there are some financial matters where, in fact, I'm in a lawsuit that's coming up in trial about some money owed to me.
Money owed to you. That's a violation right there. That's
yes,
a violation.
Yes.
And you are trespassed. And that's your stuff. We're talking about your stuff. And so this dream, and how did you react in the dream?
Well, like I said, you know, WTF, and then I said, well, how did they find me this time? You know, so there have been...
How did they find
dreams.
Me? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there have been recurring dreams, where I don't remember exactly how now, which, you know, but in that same vein where... I'll come home and everything is missing, or I'll go look for my car and it's missing.
Missing stuff. Okay, we're still on the level of things. So something is really trying to bubble up through from the subconscious and trying to get closer to you getting the message. So this is why we start digging and we plant the seed when we go to sleep, because if you keep a pad by your bed and you plant the seed, I want to know how I handle being violated or trespassed upon, and what can I do about it? And you put that in your pad by your bed, the last thing you do before you go to sleep. And then upon waking, you keep your eyes closed for this 3 to 4 minute period where you are in the Lyman state of consciousness with your eyes closed, because you will capture more images in that state of consciousness. It doesn't last more than 3 to 4 minutes, but if you open your eyes, you're out of it instantly and you won't recall. And this is where the answers, our answers, from our subconscious mind will help us, they will start coming through and will help us make rational decisions in our lives. So I say to you, figure out where you're being violated, ask your subconscious mind to help you through it so that you can handle the people who are in waking life, handle the people in waking life who are violating you and who can. And if you say it's a repetitive thing, what can I do to prevent these violations? So that translates from the dream world to the waking world. What is it that I can do to prevent myself being violated and trespassed upon? And the answers will come bubbling through.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, even just you talking like that sparked certain ideas.
Very good.
And connection. So I do appreciate it. And if I may put in a plug for you, your book on Amazon, The Dream Class, I highly recommend, because I've learned a lot.
Oh.
And that's why I listen. Yeah, I do. And I put in my 5-star review, but I just want to tell you it's a great book, and I've learned a lot, you know, from your book also. So thank you for that as well.
Thank you.
I like
calling.
Thank you, caller. It was
nice hearing
you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Bye.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks, caller. I just want to say that this radio show is sponsored by the Wan Institute. Dr. Pat Allen is the co-founder of the Wan Institute. Dr. Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward, we offer ladies groups. If you want information on monthly ladies groups, you can send me an email at info@drpatallen.com, or you can call me at 949-723-0000. 0338. Patricia Eltage has worked with Pat Allen for quite a few years, and she's also an old student and does relationship coaching, and she specializes in dream interpretation. So her number, if you want to have your dream interpreted, is 310-528-0515. And Patricia will be here next week to do more dream interpretation. If you want to get on the list to have your dream interpreted, call me at the office at 949-723-0338. Patricia, do you have anything else to say?
I have only to say our dreams seem kooky, but all dreams wish us well. Even if they're kooky or scary, they're bringing us messages for our personal transformation.
And don't forget about your book. Where can they pick up your book?
Amazon.com.
The old Amazon.
And it's my name is The Dream Class by Patricia Eltinge, Eltinge.
Yes, it's a very nice book. I have a copy, and a lot of my ladies in my ladies groups got a copy, and they're now kind of interpreting their own dreams. It's helped them tremendously. So with that, we're gonna end the show, and we hope to have callers back next week. Dr. Allen speaks the first part of the show, and then Patricia and I will be in the second half. So we wish you well, and any closing words on dreams, Patricia?
Again, all dreams wish us well.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.